on May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere. This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
This episode is brought to you by AARP. 10 years from today, Lisa Schneider will trade in her office job to become the leader of a pack of dogs. As the owner of her own dog rescue, that is. A second act made possible by the reskilling courses Lisa's taking now with AARP to help make sure her income lives as long as she does. And she can finally run with the big dogs. And the small dogs, who just think they're big dogs. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/skills.
So I'll say, I don't believe in more money, more problems, but I do believe in new levels, new devils, right? Like, you have to be willing to do the work required. Work required is not working hard. It's not working smart necessarily. It's like, you know it's the work required when you have the thing that you're seeking. And if you can't shed the shame, you really can't work towards solutions. She normalized the fact that, like, messing up with money did not make me a bad person.
This is The Secret Lives of Black Women. I'm Sharla.
And I'm Lauren.
And today we're talking about money.
Money, very important conversation to have. I feel like money is such a common thing that I don't actually feel comfortable talking about a lot.
I've gotten much more comfortable talking about it. Only because I feel like I didn't know how much I didn't know. And now that I know way more, I'm like, oh, we need to talk about it. I'm just like, I want to talk about it with everybody all the time.
I don't know. I feel like it's still such a thing that I feel like is very like private for me as I'm like figuring out like the tools to like manage it. So it's really, I'm excited to actually have a conversation about it today.
I'm excited too. And I feel like this, like keeping it private is what makes everyone feel so ashamed about it and like they can't talk about it because it's such a secret thing here. And our culture here is consume and don't save and don't talk about money and spend conspicuously and show your money on your clothes and like in your purse, but like nobody really knows what you have in your bank account or that you have tons of debt and that you have a crap credit score. So I'm just like, this is an emergency conversation. We need to talk about it ASAP.
It's urgent. And we have the best person here to have this conversation with. Our guest today is Tiffany Alice, also known as the Budgetista. Tiffany created her brand, The Budgetista, in 2008. It's a financial education firm that delivers workshops, seminars, trainings, and more. The Budgetista has been a brand ambassador and spokesperson for many organizations and has served as a personal financial education expert for City National Bank. She has written so many books, 1 Week to Budget, which is a number one Amazon bestseller. And in 2019, Tiffany transformed her commitment into legislation when she partnered with Assemblywoman Angela V. McKnight to write a bill that was later signed into law, A-1414. I want to make sure I get it right, which is the Budgetista law, and it's made financial education mandatory for middle school students in New Jersey. So it's like, Tiffany's making sure that this conversation is happening young.
Straight up.
For Black women, by Black women, and I'm going to take a deep breath. Let's talk about money.
Let's talk about money. You can do it. We can do it. And I'm so happy we're doing this. Like, I became pretty obsessed with money last year when I hit a block. Like, I realized I was broke. Like, I was making more money than I had ever made before. And I still was broke. And I didn't know why, and I couldn't understand. It never occurred to me that it was my doing, that it was my lack of education, and that I was doing anything wrong, because I was just doing what our culture tells us to do, like spend every dollar you have. And then when I started learning about money. I actually started learning about money through Dave Ramsey. And then I started learning about money and I was just like, Dave Ramsey is like this super Christian, like money radio host. And he uses the baby steps and literally the first baby step is save $1,000. And the second one is pay off your debt and blah, blah, blah. And then like the tenets of financial education are so basic, literally don't spend every dollar you make, that I could not believe that I didn't just know it fundamentally. And I felt so lied to, like my culture had lied to me, like this is what my culture tells me to do, and like it's a lie, like people that have actual money don't spend all their money, you know? So I'm just like, yo, I really was like, we need to bring a Black woman onto the show to talk about money, because this is crucial, this is critical, this is an emergency, and I'm just like, we need to bring this to the Secret Lives community.
We're doing it right now. Let's get started. Tiffany,
Lego.
I've been wanting to talk to you for such a long time because one of my very dear friends just did Girls Trek.
Okay, yes.
And she was like, literally from the mounds of Denver, was like, girl, you need to have the Budget Nisa on your podcast. My life is changed.
Oh, that's awesome. What was her experience at Girls Trek?
I mean, you did a seminar and you talked to people about like getting out of debt and budgeting.
Well, so my friend Morgan and Vanessa co-founded Girl Trek, and I'd met Morgan several times, like at Essence Fest and other places. And she just like wants Black women to be healthier, you know? Mm-hmm. And we did kind of like a fireside chat. So I wasn't even really teaching any lessons. I was just talking about like, yo, we need to get our shit together. And here's why and here's how.
Yeah.
So it was like more like of a pep rally for like, sis, they lied to you. Mm-hmm. You got this. Here's how. Yo, I used to be like, I mean, I have been at every level and stage of money, from like broke, where I was like, when my parents go to church, I'm stealing that chicken out the freezer because sis don't have no food at the house, to like moving back home at age 30, to I was a preschool teacher for 10 years making like money because, you know, they don't pay teachers much, to where I am now, 7-figure income running 4 companies. So I've been at every level and stage, and I'm like, I'm here to say that it's all possible and you can make mistakes and you can bounce back, but you can do it, and that's all you need is possibility.
So what was the moment that got you on this track then, since you were not making 7 figures before? You were not running 4 companies. What happened?
So really, it really started at home. I was fortunate in that my dad was a CFO and an accountant of a small nonprofit in Newark, New Jersey. Shout out to Brick City. And so we grew up, my 4 sisters and I, growing up, we talked about money all the time. So I actually didn't grow up with any hangups. Like I got money hangups later as an adult through my own mistakes, but not at home. We didn't have a bunch of money, but we talked about that even openly. And so it wasn't really until I went to college that I realized that most people had this hang up or fear when it came to money. And because my college roommate actually had debt collectors calling the room, and we thought it was hilarious because, you know, you're like 17. So we would use it as prank calls, like, ooh, somebody named Deshaun is on the phone, but I'm pretty sure he's trying to collect money. But he's down cute. Where you from, Deshaun? She ain't got it, right?
This is like, horrifying.
Right?
A 17-year-old getting debt calls?
But at the time, you know, I didn't think anything of it. And so I must have been home giggling with my dad, like, daddy, and then, because, you know, just talking about college, like, and then these people call the room telling I almost said her name. She'll be like, girl, because we still call let's call her Jan.
Good and, one.
Right? Right, Jan is like, you know, these people call asking for money because saying that she owes or something. And my dad's like, debt collectors. And he would give me advice that then I would then go back to the dorm and give to her. So that was like the first kind of like, oh, there's knowledge and there are people without knowledge, that I was the gap bridger, you know?
Ooh, that started early then.
Very early. And so
what did your dad tell you to tell her?
Well, one, that she doesn't have to take the call. Not to necessarily claim the debt, because you don't know for sure if that's who you actually owe. And to ask them to ask to send a letter, a debt verification letter, to verify that she does indeed owe them. So what it turned out was that her parents had opened up debt in her name because they had messed up their credit in an effort, you know, they were struggling. So she didn't even know how to manage something she had not incurred. Mm-hmm. And so that was like the beginning stages of, like, for me, even knowing that there were people. I mean, we didn't have a ton of money, but that wasn't happening. So I thought, oh, there are people who are struggling in a way that they don't actually know how to get out of. How come she doesn't know the answer? How do I make that fit? And so it was just like I became the go-to when asking about personal finance stuff.
How did you, because it seems like you had it together, but you also mentioned your, like, roller coaster journey of them being 30 and, like, having to move back home. And I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
How did you find yourself in that place, and how did you get out to where you are now?
So up until, I would say, age 26, 27, I was what I would deem financially perfect. Like, I had not made any mistakes. Literally, I didn't make no choices. I just would be like, Daddy, what do I do next? And do it. Graduated college. You should get a car. Do not get a new car. It's the worst, like, investment that you can get because new cars depreciate. Okay, so then what do? Save your money. I was working at a little daycare center. Save your money, and in 6 months or whenever you have it, let me know, and I'll take you to the used car dealership. And I said, okay. So then I did. I had $5,000 saved, or $5,500, and I bought a 99 Nissan Altima. And it was like, at the time, it was only like 2 or 3 years old. And he was like, you bought that car outright, so now you have no car note. And because you have no car note, your insurance is going to be lower. I remember my insurance was $62 a month.
Wow.
Right? And I also stayed home. I remember I wanted to move out so bad because my parents were really strict. And, like, I had, like, a midnight curfew and no phone calls past 10, even though I graduated college, you know? So I was like, I wanted to. They did not care. They're like, do you live here? Okay. Mm-hmm. My parents are Nigerian, right? Like, you're a child as long as you live in this house. But I didn't rush out. I was like, no, I'm not going to get an apartment right away. I wanted to save. And I did. I stayed home for a year. I used that money to buy a car. And then I started to buy furniture for the apartment that I wanted to get. And then when I was ready to move out, I asked my sister, who was 2 years older. She was 23 and I was 21. I was like, you know, I'm going to move out. I think I found a place. Do you want to move out? She said, yes. So I started to realize, because my friends at the time were, their lives were costing them so much money, but I had a place of my own. They had a place of their own. I had a car. They had a car. But my life was so much cheaper. And as a result, I was able to pursue my passion. I'd gone to school for business, hated my corporate America internships. And I was like, yo, I used to feel like I'm going to die here because I'm super dramatic. I was like, literally every day, I was like, my soul is dying.
That's how I felt in every 9-to-5 job I've ever had. I literally can't get out of bed.
Yo,
drama.
And I was like, I used to write poetry, like, at, like, my desk until one day my boss caught me. Like, he was, like, sitting at, like, I came back to my desk, or he was sitting at my desk and reading my poetry. And I didn't have any shame. I'm like, is it good? I mean.
So then what happened after you were perfect then, after 27, 26, 27?
I started feeling myself. You know, you start smelling yourself. Mm-hmm. That's what the old folks say, like, oh, she's smelling herself. So I was. And I was like, I don't need daddy's, like, information no more. I'm about to be rich on my own. And a friend of mine, who I knew for a couple years, and this is back when, in your mid-20s, you still believe that if people have stuff, they actually have money.
Yeah.
He didn't have any money. But he looked like he had money. So I said, can you teach me how to invest? Because clearly you got wealth. And he was like, sure, I'll scam you. I mean, teach you how to invest. And so he was like, well, first thing first, you have to invest with other people's money. And I was like, well, what does that mean? When my friend told me that I can pull money off my credit card to invest with, I was like, well, I only have this one. He's like, well, open two others. So I did, because I had great credit. And I pulled off, I pulled off maybe $20,000. And so we signed this contract that this is how we were going to invest the money. And I handed over the money and he walked away and I was like, bye, I'm stupid. And like a week later, so the deal was I invest $20,000 and then every two...
$20,000?
$20,000. And then it gets worse because I was like, I never had credit card debt before. So I was like, oh, now I got these credit cards, but I've been to be rich because he said I'm going to make $2,000 a week for 2 years.
Ooh.
I know.
Just and then what did you know what you were investing in when, like, you gave the $20,000?
So he was he lived in the U.S., but he was really like a French citizen. And so he was like, so we went to like
New York. All kinds of scams.
Yeah.
He's just like scammer written
just a scam,
all over
right? Scams. Exactly. But I didn't see it because he was cute. You know, I was like,
he was cute and he had an accent. So right? You were like, yeah.
I was like, yeah, he's rich. I'm saying. So we were supposed to buy all these commodities or whatever in New York, like Levi's and like stuff that you could sell because he had supposedly had stores in France that like we'd buy it here, sell it there, and I would get my weekly stipend of $2,000 a week. So I remember I bought this course, this online course, to teach me how to start a business, and it was $15,000.
And so, you went to college for business.
Yes, but I was like, no, okay. But of course I kept all this a secret because I was going to surprise my parents with this new web.
I mean, were you getting like a certificate or something? $15,000.
I know. It was one of those, like now I see them all the time. It was one of those like learn how to do, like, I don't even know. Honestly, I love it.
You real life got scammed by like an internet prince.
Yes, I did. It was before it was like the wave. I was like, well, I was getting scammed way before y'all knew, girls, right? and for way more. So within an instant, I went from owing $0 to owing $20,000 because I pulled the money off the credit card to owing $35,000 because I swiped an additional $15,000. And one week happened. And meanwhile, I was in good spirits because clearly money's coming. Week one happened. I'm like, where's my money? Week two. Hey, hello, scammer, where you at? And like he would pick up every once in a while and there would always be an excuse. And then after a month, I started to get nervous because I was like, yo, bro, I got to pay this, you know, start to pay this bill. And then he disappeared. And when I tell you, I mean, I searched for him for a year. For a year, I didn't accept responsibility because I said, ain't my fault. Because the truth is, I was a really good budgeter and saver. And then if I really buckled down, I could have paid that off in a year and a half. So, but I was like, I refuse. It's not my fault. He's going to pay this, and you know. And then what happened was, finally, when I accepted responsibility, it was the year of the recession, and they were like, "Oh, sidebar, ain't no more school," because I was a preschool teacher, a full-fledged preschool teacher by then. They were a nonprofit-based school, and then they lost their funding because no corporate entities really had money. And so all of a sudden, I had no job. I had $35,000 in credit card debt. I had just finished my master's, so I owed $50,000 for my master's. And my condo, I bought it for $220,000. So, like, I owed over nearly, like, $300,000 and no income coming in. And I was, like, I was 29. And I was like, yeah, this doesn't look
life
good.
Life comes at you fast.
Real fast. Humbles you really? Real quick. Because I'm not going
to
lie.
Went from zero to literally 360.
I mean... And, you know, but it was good, though. I mean, at the time, it didn't feel good. But it was good because up until then, I was slightly judgy. I'm not going to lie. Like, when people were, like, running up their credit card bills, I'm like, why? You know, or because I had always been financially perfect. So I had not experienced any dips, you know? So I wasn't even equipped to, well, what do you do when you mess up? And at first, I did nothing. I kind of, like, literally sat in the dark for, like, a year. I was like in a state of depression, like, yeah, this is not good. I broke up my boyfriend and I of 6 years from my college sweetheart. We broke up. And I was like, yo, I had nothing. No, you know, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure I'm going to lose this condo because these people are going to want their money. And I run out of savings to give them. And I remember my best friend Linda used to like stalk me because she was like, yo, you're not picking up. You're not hanging out. So she finally got me on the phone and she's like, what's going on? And I was like, everything's fine. Everything's not fine. And I just told her everything. And she was like, girl, you broke? Okay. Girl, we've been broke. You were the only one. Like, you were the only one out of all of us that had any kind of financial sense. Welcome to literally the rest of the world.
Right.
She normalized the fact that like messing up with money did not make me a bad person. And it was then when I was able to shed the shame that I was able to see that there were solutions. Like, that's a critical component, that if you can't shed the shame, you really can't work towards solutions.
And totally.
I started working towards solutions. I was talking to my sister, and she was like, you know, like, if worst case scenario, if they take the house, the condo from you, what would you do? I was like, I guess I'd move back home with mommy and daddy. And she's like, well, why wait? Why not do that now? So I did. And then I rented out my condo instead to help with the mortgage. And I was on unemployment and I did a lot of volunteer work because I was trying to find myself. Like, well, what am I going to do now? Because I didn't want to go back to the classroom. I just swore I didn't want to be a teacher again. But I also knew I didn't want to go back to a job because jobs could be taken. So, right, yeah. You know, the recession taught like a lot of us that. That's why so many entrepreneurs came out of the recession.
Yeah, totally.
And was this the point, at this point, did you realize actually this is my passion? to like help people figure this out, or did that come later?
Later, because I was denying that truly I am a teacher, because I had equated being a teacher to, they took it. I don't want to be a teacher anymore. And so I kind of, it was like, it's almost like I knew it, but I had to re-remember, like, Tiffany, you are built to teach. You love teaching. And financial education was something like, I was at 19 reading books about personal finance and taking classes. I had always been like passionate about personal finance for myself. And I found myself every single time that I would step out to volunteer that at some point I would be teaching someone how to budget, how to save, how to fix your credit, how to get out of debt. Like, it could be random. And so it kind of clicked one day, like, Tiffany, like, I think someone asked me how much did I cost because they saw me giving someone like a free lesson in the hallway. And I was like, cost for what? They're like, girl, I always hear you talking about money. You like some kind of financial advisor or whatever? And I was like, no. And she said, you ought to be. And I was like, what? So I told my best friend, like, someone told me that I should charge. She was like, girl, you have nothing. You have no money. You better charge.
I want to talk more about just our background and how that affects our relationships to wealth. But we're going to get into that after a quick break.
This episode is brought to you by AARP. 10 years from today, Lisa Schneider will trade in her office job to become the leader of a pack of dogs. As the owner of her own dog rescue, that is. A second act made possible by the reskilling courses Lisa's taking now with AARP to help make sure her income lives as long as she does. And she can finally run with the big dogs. And the small dogs, who just think they're big dogs. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/skills.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun. And that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
And we are back with Tiffany the Budgetista. And I, you know, listening to you talk, a big thing that's ringing out for me is how much your relationship with money actually has to do with your personal relationship with yourself.
Yes.
And you've said big thing. You've said, like, letting things that I think of really, like, self-help speak of, like, how I help motivate myself just to get out of bed in life, of, like, letting go of shame.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, nothing is ever wasted in your life and figuring out your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is, how did you get to that deep place that you were realizing that you're doing this really deep self work?
Mm-hmm.
And that work seems to also be playing out in your relationship with, like, money.
I think, so I've always been someone who's, like, I have this inner desire to, like, want to be better. There's always this thing in my head of, like, what can I do to be a better person? And I remember I made, like, probably the biggest decision I ever made in my life was, I was, for the first time I was visiting Nigeria, I was 21, and my whole family for the first time was going to go to Nigeria together. I was thinking to myself, I have to make a choice. You're graduating in a month, and you have to make a choice. Do you take this job with this corporate entity that's going to pay you $50,000 or $60,000 a year, and you're dying there? Or do you teach, which is what I really wanted to do, but I knew I was going to make next to nothing. And I thought to myself, if you, all of this has created who you are, like, my great-grandmother was still alive then, she was like 103, and I thought to myself, she didn't do all that she did for me to like sleep in a safety net. And so I decided I was going to take a leap. And I always knew I wanted to live a life of service. Like if I had to pick my two biggest heroes, that like it would be Harriet Tubman, because I feel like I'm coming back for all my people. Right.
Yes.
Right. And then Mr. Rogers, because I truly, right? I love me some Mr. Rogers.
Great combo.
For real. And I'm like, because Mr. Rogers, like, I want to come from a place of kindness, non-judgment, understanding. The answer is already inside you. I think not enough people spend enough time inward, especially with our social media life that we live now. And everything I do comes from that place. So really, when I was coming to the space of the Budgetnista and fixing my own finances, I was really just going inward and saying, well, Tiffany, my natural nature is that when I know something, I share it. And so I'm like, well, you're learning this financial stuff for yourself. And so many women, especially Black women, were coming to me needing help, or I would see they need help. So it's like it was I would rush to learn something just for the simple fact of like someone else needs this information. And you have a unique ability, Tiffany, to take something that's complex and make it simple because you taught preschool for 10 years. And that's literally all you did every day.
Oh, my God, that is so perfect.
You know what I mean? But like, look how
true.
Like, look how God set you up. Right. What, yeah. Like, or your higher power, whatever you believe in. People thought I was wasting my life because I became a preschool teacher. I had my master's. Teaching preschool for 10 years literally taught me how to take complex things, because teaching a three-year-old that there's two types of A's that have nothing to do with each other. There's this little A and there's this big A, but they both mean A. And you know, A is like apple, but not always like, that's a lot. But so
that's a lot.
Right?
Nobody talks about how that's a lot, but it's a lot.
It is. You like a good principal will tell you, you put your best teachers in the younger grades because you literally have to take this little being with no knowledge. There's some kids that don't even know their name is Jane. My name is Man-Man. And you're like, well, damn, I got to teach you your name and how to wipe your behind and not to pee on yourself and your letters, shapes, colors, numbers. And so learning, how do I teach from a place? Also, too, you can't be mean to three-year-olds. So how do you teach from a place of non-judgment, kindness? How do you transform someone from where they are to where you want to get them to? All of that you learn in preschool. So I just took all, like, the Budgetnista, that's all you see. That's really what I'm doing, is taking my passion for service, taking my passion for helping others, taking my passion for teaching and my ability to teach, and using it to help women, especially women that look like me.
But when you were in the midst of this journey, were you able to recognize that, like, okay, this is a journey and it's leading me to where I'm supposed to be? Or were there moments where you're like, what am I doing? I'm freaking out. Should I be teaching? Do I go back to this corporate job? Or were you always cognizant of like, I'm on a path that's leading me somewhere?
In the beginning, that was the hardest in the beginning, because I was like, the hell? Like, I checked the Black girl good list. Like, you know, the good Black girl list? Check you tithe, check you go to church, check you get your master's, check you get your bachelor's. Check. Like, I did all the things. Where are my things? And I remember, like, the transition was for me when I think I was, by then I had moved out of my parents' house and I was sleeping on my sister's couch for like a year or so. And I remember, so my Nigerian name is Adochi, which means God's blessing. And I remember, like, literally distinctly saying out loud, like, God, like, honestly, this life sucks. Like, the hell, I'm 31 years old. I have not had a place. I lost my place. I don't have anything. I've done all the things. I'm a good person. I don't drink. I don't smoke. And I remember hearing just one thing, like, Adochi, I've given you all you need to succeed. Ooh. That was it. Literally, I have given you all you need to succeed. And not Tiffany, but Adochi. I have given you all you need to succeed.
Nigerian.
Yes.
So I have one of the things that when I started learning about money, was I felt like, because I was brought up very Christian, mm-hmm. and one of the things that I felt like was a detriment to learning about money was this, God's gonna take care of you. Like,
yes.
Was this, like, I don't need to do anything, but you very much do have to do something.
You do. And I mean, and anybody will also tell you that faith without works is dead. So when I heard that I've given you everything you need to succeed, I was sarcastically listing everything that supposedly I had. Oh, what I got? I got a couch. I got this suitcase full of dirty clothes, you know? And then I remember I started to really list the things that I had. And I was like, I remember I listed, I have emails. And I'm like, emails? Have I used my emails? And I had done so much volunteer work by then that I had a bunch of emails of places I'd volunteered. And I emailed them all and said, hey, I teach financial education. You know, you might have remembered me from volunteering, but I now do it as for a living, and I would love to come do that for your company. I think I had 50 emails, and one person emailed back. to say that the person I was emailing no longer worked there, that she did. And I was like, well, girl, can I meet you? And she was like, sure. And I met her and I got my very first contract because, Adochi, I've given you everything you need to succeed. See? So I realized that, like, I was waiting, but I had the tools. I was not using the tools. You're like, oh, God, I'm hungry. You promised that you would feed me. And he was like, sis, have you gone to the supermarket? You thinking that food is just going to show up in your refrigerator? That's not what happened. Is that I gave you the tools to work. So when you get money from work, then you can go to the supermarket and put food in your own refrigerator. Like, you have to be willing to do the work required. Like, where I am now, I mean, the level of work, there's some things I look back and I'm like, yo, how did I make that happen? The level of work required is not working hard. It's not working smart necessarily. It's like, you know, it's the work required when you have the thing that you're seeking. So if you say you want A and you're working and you don't have A, you have not done the work required yet. You've only done the work required when you've accomplished A. Sometimes it's going to take you 2 minutes, sometimes 2 months, sometimes 2 years. And I find that a lot of people are not willing to do the work required.
So you've been on this journey where you've ridden the roller coaster and now you're at a peak. So there must be different challenges that you're facing now that you are successful. And what does that look like? And how do you navigate and mine this new world, this more money, more problems world, maybe?
So I'll say, I don't believe in more money, more problems, but I do believe in new levels, new devils, right? So, because here's the thing that's weird. Because the recession taught me really great lessons, but it also left a legacy of fear that I'm trying to overcome.
Oh, I love that you said that. Ooh.
Yes, because there is part of me, because I didn't grow up with this financial fear, but because of that, there's part of me that always has I always say things like, well, if the Budgetista doesn't work out, sis, we're here. Like, right. It's working, you know? But I always have this, like, I don't spend, like, any money. At one point, I had, like, so much money saved in a savings account that I know as a financial educator makes no sense, that mm-hmm. I was able to buy the house that my husband and I live in now in cash. This is all
God
in one
damn.
Year. I was able to pay off my parents' house in cash now, and my student loan debt that I still had left over from my master's, because I finally learned the lesson to not focus so heavily on debt, to focus on growing wealth, and then I could take care of debt later. So within a year, house renovation, my parents' house, student loan debt. I paid it off in cash with the money I had in my savings account, which doesn't make money. And I knew that I was hoarding cash for the day something like the recession came back again. It was not going to catch me unawares. And I was like, Tiffany, you're not living because you're living in the space of fear. And so what I did was I actually hired the last 6 months a financial planner. Her name is Angelie. And she's dope because she is helping to, I don't know that I'll ever be fully free of the fear, but what helps to alleviate the fear for me is a plan. So Angelie has been really helping to, like, relinquish some of this fear in the way it's playing out with me being a hoarder of money instead of enjoying it. And so, yeah, it's hard. That's what I would say. The part that's harder now is that because I'm doing so much better now that sometimes there's actually an increase of fear because it's so much further to fall if I fall.
I feel the exact Ooh, yes. same way. I think that's amazing that you are a financial educator and you still hire someone to help you with your finances,
yes.
which says a lot. You said something earlier about, like, when you learned about money, like, you had this urgency to teach people. Like, you're just like, oh, I want to. And I felt the same way when I started learning about money. When I met other people that were in similar situations, like, they were in situations that I had been in, I was like, I felt this sense of urgency to teach them, like, oh, my God, uh-huh. like, you need to know about this. And I would be met with some resistance, you know, like, and I knew from, you know, all kinds of therapy and stuff that I'm meeting these people's shame. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I'm meeting these people they don't want to face the shame that they have. And mind you, I did not want to face it either. Like, when I first started learning, you couldn't tell me I wasn't amazing with money, mm-hmm. even though I was somehow never knew where my money went. But, like, how do you, like, when you meet someone like that who you clearly see needs this information, needs this education, but they're not ready to face the shame yet. They're not ready to be honest about where they really are. Or maybe they just don't have the education to even know that they're bad with money. Like, what do you do? I've started just not even talking about it because I've been met with like resistance. So what do you do as someone who does this for a living?
So what I learned was, because I used to be like the budget bully, like do it, you know, that doesn't help. So then I had to like really fall back on like, okay, if this was 3-year-old Jaheim from Kretschmer Daycare, how would I get him over to the block area? And it wouldn't be forcibly, right? So instead, you make the block area look lit, like, oh, we partying over here. We over here with these, look at these Legos, you know? And like creating.
You literally have to trick adults like children.
Yes. Like, so I try my best to create an environment where when you are ready to come to block area, it is always ready for you here. You cannot make anyone do anything. Not a 3-year-old, not a 33-year-old, not a 103-year-old. That instead, my job is to prepare a safe, judgment-free, secure environment that has the access and the education you need to change your life and to let you know it is here for you, whether it's 3 months from now, 3 years from now, 30 years from now. So that's what I've learned, is that if you create an environment like that, people will mosey on over to block area. Not everyone, but here's the thing, like even if I were to pull a child to block area that doesn't want to be there, he's not going to play with blocks anyway. So that's why I don't pull you over, you know? So it's not my job to make you come over here. It's my job to create an environment that is welcoming, but and also too an environment where you know you're not going to get judged. That's why I tell my story so much about me messing up, so people know that, girl, been there, done that, have the t-shirt, had to sell the t-shirt because I couldn't eat. You know, that's truly the key. Like, I've had people, like, I've spoken at, like, you know, big events, whatever. Then later on, the waiter will pull me to the side and say, you know, I have a question. And they're, like, spilling their beans. And I love that, because what that meant was that when I was on stage, that I was able to articulate enough, both verbally and nonverbally, that I'm a person that you can safely share what's going on. And you know, one, you're going to get help. And two, you're not going to be judged.
Yeah. You know, what I love about your work is that you do it for us, like for our community. And we have like a very specific set of just like historically relationships with money and capitalism in this country, in which, you know, we built and we didn't get paid.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested in, you know, are there certain struggles that you find that like Black women in particular, through your experience of your work, that we face more in terms of our relationships with money? And what are tangible tools that you give people for those struggles?
Well, I'll say that I find that for Black women, the issue is less so about specifically credit or debt or savings, and more so about mindset and like we've been denied access for so long, so we don't even know we don't know. You know? And so that's why I started, like I said, when I started the Budgetnista, I reached out to every big financial brand, media brand, everyone, to help specifically with Black women. I remember I created this beautiful media kit where I put all these women, I asked them in my audience, we call ourselves dream catchers, and I asked them to give me their pictures. I put it in the front of the media kit and I would bring it proudly from company to company and say, this is who I'm serving, can you help? And it would be way more than my white counterparts as far as the number of women that I was serving. And then they would look at the picture and I could see visibly that this interest, like, oh. And then I remember a friend of mine who worked at a huge company told me, she was a sister, she said, you know, like the consensus is there's no money in helping Black women. And I remember being livid. Because I was like,
feel like a gut punch.
What? Because you know, especially when you're young, you still are like, no. I mean, you know there's racism. But like, yo, Sally has 500 people and you gave her $10,000. And I remember just being blown away that the answer was no. I'm like, no, you don't understand. I have 2,500. She's got 500. And they were like, yeah, not right now. And I remember being like, yo, literally, I remember being like, fuck them. You know what? I'm going to build it.
Yep.
I remember being so livid that I was like, I didn't even know how. I didn't have any money. The first thing I built was something called the Live Richer Challenge. And so I did that. And I remember everybody told me I was crazy. Like, why are you going to make it for free? What's the point? I'm like, yo, no one is speaking to us. Like, I just couldn't sit still and let that pass. And I remember it cost me, and only God knows where I found it. It took me a year to build it, and it cost about $10,000 with every, like, the little components that added up together. I didn't have $10,000, but I guess when I would get 100, I'd put it toward it. 200, I'd put it toward it. But when it all added up at the end, it was $10,000, and my goal was to get 10,000 Black women signed up. And literally January 2015, we had 10,000 Black women signed up and we did the very first literature challenge, and it transformed not just those women, but me. And then now we have over 800,000 women have taken one or more of the literature challenges. 800,000 Black women.
That's amazing.
Right? Yeah. And they're all free. And they've continued to be free. And people thought, like, even now they still think I'm crazy for it. But I'm like, yo, the point was to help, to serve, to transform, especially us. I can't tell you, a day doesn't go by. I was at the spa with my sisters the day after Thanksgiving. And two Black women came up to me and were like, are you the Bazinista? I was like, yeah. Right? And what I love is that it's less fangirling and more, girl, do you know I got debt free because you, I love that. Like, women are talking about money in public and being very specific. I had a 502 credit score and now it's a 750 and me and my husband bought a house. And honestly, if I die today, I know that there are at least 800,000 women whose lives and families are better as a result of teaching that I've created. And so that's like, that means more than anything.
You're like clearly creating a legacy. I mean, I even saw that you passed a Bajanista law. Got a Bajanista law passed in New Jersey where they teach financial education in middle school, which is amazing.
So necessary.
And it's going to transform the lives of, I'm sure, millions of people.
Yeah, because for me, I'm here because it was money was normalized for me.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's not about teaching like the second grader how to invest. It's just to introduce terms and things to this little one. And so we wrote the law. We got the law passed January 2019. The law passed. We got the law signed by Lieutenant Governor Oliver, who was a Black woman at the Barack Obama school with a Black principal. When I tell you, it was like Black woman central on the stage. Blackity Black on the Black hand side. It was amazing.
I mean, because once it's normalized in your youth, it's just like you have these skills.
Yes.
My question is, what if someone's like listening to this podcast, they're going home, they're Googling the Bajanista, but they want to like, what is a tip if you're just like, okay, if you're finally like, okay, I'm ready to start in this journey and like let go of my shame and really like get my life together. What do you say is a good first step?
Well, first, you have to understand that there are three things you need in order to transform. You need knowledge. This is especially specifically for Black women, especially our community. Knowledge, access, because we've been denied access. That's not for every community. And then community. So when you know better, you do better. So I would say if you wanted to start, you have no knowledge whatsoever, I would start with one of the literature challenges. You can go to literaturechallenge.com. They are all free. Take one at a time because you're going to get a daily email. Take a sister friend with you. It's like the gym. You know you ain't going by yourself, girl. That's one, knowledge. The second is access. Because when you have, some doors can only be opened on the inside. No matter how smart, how bright you are, it takes a level of connection. And so if you're someone who is like, I'm beyond budgeting and saving and I really need the next level, I created something called my Live Richer Academy, which is an online school specifically for Black women who are ready for the next level. You want to invest. You want to buy real estate. You're ready for retirement. You want a legacy build. You want to start a business. You want a side hustle. And I have my attorney, Black woman Toni Moore, who's amazing, teach a class, you know? And then you're going to want estate planning, Art Steele, Black woman with an afro, teaches a class. Because I also want you to see yourself like is teaching sis. Oh, okay, you know? And so like the Literature Academy, honestly, it's probably one of my favorite things that I created because I believe basic financial education should be free. So that's why the literature challenges are free to get your foundation. And then the academy is paid because I pay the staff to help run it. But for y'all, like normally the academy is like $50 a month. But I asked my Tamara today, who is my academy manager, she can create like a 40% discount.
Amazing.
So instead of $50 a month, $29 a month. And it's instead of, because if you go to liveritcheracademy.com, you'll see that. But the link she created for y'all is join LRA for Live Richer Academy, joinlra.com. And that's 40% off for y'all. Joinlra.com.
Amazing.
So that's access. I mean, we have over 50 different, amazing experts who specialize in specific things that you need to take your life to the next level financially. And then we also have a private group, because community is the third component of transforming your life. Black people in particular, community is where we thrive, because that's where we came from. And so that I always make sure that with the financial education that you're not alone and you need to ask questions and get responses. So knowledge, access, and community, those are the three components. And you could start today for free, or you could elevate, you know, start at a discount.
Thank you so much for offering a discount. That's like just
that's
so
amazing.
So kind.
It's
going to
help
so
a lot
huge.
Of people.
You're welcome.
We like to end each podcast asking our guest, what's your secret? What's your secret to life, to being you, to living, being your best self,
to
whatever
thriving.
It is. Yes.
I would say the secret for me is this plaque I saw Mr. Rogers' wall. I watched this documentary from PBS when I was 21, and it said, the purpose of life is to live a life of service. And since then, I have taken it with me, like tattooed it on my heart, that like my secret to all things, that even when I'm out of whack or I'm not feeling myself, or I'm feeling a little down in the dumps, it's because I'm not being of service. Maybe it's the Tiffany show and I'm being selfish. And so for me, the secret truly to my happiness, to success, to all things for me is to live a life of service.
I love that so much.
Like, I've just got so many nuggets. I'm going to sign up for the Live Richer Challenge. And I'm also going to get my mom a membership to the Live Richer Academy, because it's like she's an older Black woman who wants to start her own business and be in community with other people that are doing it. It's just you're definitely living a life of service, and you are leaving behind such a large impact and just changing people's lives. And I mean, thank you.
Thank you for the work
thank
that
you.
You've done.
Thank you for
thank
the work
you for
that
the
you've
education
done.
You've imparted. It literally is changing people's lives. Thank you.
Thank you.
I loved talking to Tiffany so much. Like, I knew it would be important to talk to a Black woman specifically about money. But again, like, talking to her made it hit home even more how important this conversation is for us in our community. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, she hit on some really big things for me that was just like, you know, just the shame. And frankly, like having the word, like someone say the word shame and associated with money was just like, yes, like this is the thing to overcome, right? So I love this conversation. I'm so happy that she got us these books that I cannot wait to start, because I need to, because it's like time. I'm like finally ready to overcome the shame of like that I have around like my relationship to money. I also really loved in this conversation how just open she was about her journey.
Yeah.
And like embracing it as a journey. And I mean, she gave me so many words. I feel like this, you know, like much of these episodes, the entire episode is a word.
It's a word.
But if I have to pick one for the word of the week, I would say my word is possibility.
Mm, I love it.
Because when she was talking about her journey and not being, you know, letting go of shame and being able to pick up the pieces and start back over, she said, all you need is possibility. And for me, that's what I'm going to take, is just like, that's all I need. And that's what I have right now. And that's like a good place to start.
I love it. And I think it's so true that believing that you can is a really important step to getting your money life together. And my word of the week is, I feel like I'm cheating a little bit because she just said it. But my word of the week is service. Just because I feel like learning about money has changed my life in such fundamental ways. Like, I truly do feel like it is a deeply important work that she's doing. I think it's incredibly important work. Like, it empowers women literally. Like, when you literally have money in this country, when you understand it in this country, especially when you're an immigrant, you have so much more say-so you have so much more say. You have so much more ability to lead your family. It gives you so much more freedom. It gives you so much more peace of mind. I think it's such important work that she does. And I really feel like the word of the week right now to me is service. This is a true service to the community that she is doing. And I'm grateful for it. And she's, what a great steward of the information.
Yes.
And I love when she talked about, like the fact that she's a preschool teacher couldn't be more perfect. Because I was just like, you're truly teaching people, like, the ABCs of money.
And it really was a perfect analogy.
It really is, like, yeah.
Okay, so I'm, yeah. That's service.
That was a service, yeah.
It was a service.
Yep.
Well, we hope that you guys got a lot, as much out of this episode as we've gotten and are taking away. Don't forget about your code, joinlra.com. Thank you again, Tiffany, for allowing a discount code for our readers. And we hope you guys sign up for it. And we will see you. Well, we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
We are your hosts, Sharla Lauriston
and Lauren Domino.
The Secret Lives of Black Women is a production of Stitcher.
Our producer is Stephanie Kariuki.
Our editor is Gianna Palmer.
The show is recorded and mixed by Andy Christens.
Special thanks to our Chief Content Officer, Chris Bannon, and to Brendan Burns, who made our theme music.
Make sure you follow us on Instagram and Twitter at the SLBW. See you later.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.